Is good, Defenders Nation. Welcome to Defenders of the Bank, episode 280. That's right, 280 of the LAFC podcast, now heard in over 107 countries worldwide. That's right. You know my voice. It's the scarf. J.R. Liebert sitting here in front of the semi-famous scarf wall that I have to add the new Dia de los Muertos scarf to. Coming up very shortly. What a night. What a win. What a postseason it will now be. And I'm here to discuss every single thing about it with my partner in pod, one Christian Philly Philemon.
Hello, Los Angeles. Hello, lovers of Major League Soccer. Hello, lovers of the beautiful game. Hello to the millions.
And millions.
Of Defenders of the Bank listeners, episode 280, Scarf. I want to start this pod off in a slightly different way, but I have to start off by asking you a question. When you think of the great state of Minnesota,
yes, right,
and it's produced so many great things. It really has. Minnesota's a really cool place. But when it comes to music, what musician comes to mind that is synonymous with Minnesota?
Minnesota. What musician is synonymous? Oh, Prince.
Aha. Bear with me one second.
Oh, boy.
LAFC sent you packing back to a state that's real cold. Maybe we were dominating. Maybe we just were the better team. Maybe you don't have good players. Adrian Heath's never satisfied. You should just scream at each other. Cause this is what it sounds like when the loons cry.
I would just like to remind everybody that it is 1:28 in the morning on Thursday, October 5th, and somewhere between delirium, insanity, and genius lives the mind of one Christian Philly Philemon.
Every once in a while, I throw a zinger out there that impresses even myself. Truthfully, I had this written early in the season when we squared off against them in Minnesota. That game, unfortunately, ended in a draw, so I had to put this on the back burner. And as I was compiling my notes for one more sleep in this pod, I came across this verse that I wrote. And I thought, oh, gosh, I need to hang on to this in the event that we smash them. And smash them we did. And Scarf, it's games like today. It's the performance like today. This is why we get so pissed off when LAFC loses games. Look at what they did today. When we go to the stat line at the end of the game, your jaws are going to drop. We know what this team is capable of doing. We know they could literally smash anybody in this league when they fire on all cylinders. This is why we get mad at players. This is why we get mad at the staff. This is why we get angry, because this performance is indicative of what this club can do. And in the playoffs we are, and hopefully we can keep this momentum going and riding high.
Yeah, look, I do agree. Let's keep in mind, this is the Minnesota Loons. They're not very good, but we did exactly what we were supposed to do today to a team that was not very good. And we do it. Everybody, please keep in mind that we are part of the Flex family, flexpowertools.com. Head on over to flexpowertools.com for all of your power tools needs. And again, anything you buy in the year 2023 comes with a full lifetime warranty. My voice is on just fumes right now. So once again, don't forget to head on over to flexpowertools.com for all your power tools needs. And again, lafc.com/mo-fascio. That's F-A-S-C-I-O to donate to the Mo Fascio Futsal Court Foundation as LAFC, the LAFC Foundation, the 3252, and the Mo Fascio Futsal Court Foundation are partnering to build and fund that futsal court in Southeast LA in Mo's honor. Please go to donate. Philly, we talk about numbers to donate. I'm going to keep it a little lower than I normally do. I'm going to say 50, and 50 for Fufu Krastev with the goal today. And I'll say this, Fufu, you came on, you did a wonderful thing. I still think you should have passed that ball to Denny Bawanga for the golden boot, but you know what? You put it in the back of the net. I will never argue with results. And because you shut me up today by scoring that goal, I'll donate 50 in your honor. Philly?
Charity is becoming awfully expensive. These are a lot of receipts that I'm maintaining here. At least it's because it's charity. It is tax deductible. Well, I'm going to choose 30. Why? Because as a result of his hat trick today, which is crazy, his fourth one of the season, Denny has 30 goals in all competitions. And here's a fun fact for the millions.
And millions.
Of y'all. It's tied for fourth most goals in calendar history for MLS. Only Carlos Vela in 2019, Joseph Martinez in 2018, Zlatan Ibrahimovic in 2019. And we're talking Carlos with 38, Joseph with 35, Zlatan with 31. Only those three players have scored more than Denny. And he still has two more games to go. Whether or not he catches Carlos, I doubt that'll be the case. But he certainly has the opportunity to surpass Zlatan. So 30 is what I'm putting in there. Guy's got 30 goals on the season, man. It's quite wild.
Yeah, MLS now has been around, what, 26, 27 years? Fourth most ever goals in a calendar year. There's obviously more competitions now. There's more games to play with Leagues Cup and Campeones Cup and U.S. Open Cup and Champions League and everything else that we get ourselves into now. But that being said, it's still pretty remarkable that two of the top four all-time between Carlos Vela in 2019 and now Denny Bawanga in 2023 are on that list. Pretty cool that they're from LAFC. Absolutely love it. Yeah, it was a night of historical significance, right? Carlos Vela hitting his 150th appearance in black and gold. Chiqui Palacios hitting 100. We may have a new super sub on our hands scoring just 4 minutes into the match with Fufu Krastev after the last time he played scoring just 6 minutes. The last time he scored, scoring just 6 minutes into the match. So maybe Fufu gets a little bit more run. A very interesting quote, Philly, that you and I both wrote down from the press conference from Steve Cherundolo about Kike Oliveira. Yeah. But a night of significance for one other reason. And look, I'll take credit. I noticed it right away when it happened. And I want to make sure we talk about it right at the top of the show. For all of you that were there in attendance, you watched the final regular season flight of Ali in 2023. And I noticed something with Ken McNutt, Ken the Falconer, the original LAFC Falconer. As soon as the flight ended, Ken took off his shoes and left them in the middle of the pitch. And I turned to Philly and to Nina and to everybody else in our section, the Twins, and I said, "You guys, that's the sign of somebody retiring. I think Ken just retired from being the Falconer in front of all of our eyes in as low key of a way as possible." And I watched him walk off, but with just socks, by the way, on the pitch. Walked off, went over to the 3252, couple fans in the front row, couple supporters in the front row, gave some hugs, dapped it up. Like it was kind of a mini low key celebration. And then Philly, you were able to confirm in Founders Club later on in the match that yes, indeed, stepping back after 2023, so there still are playoff games to go. We are still going to be seeing Ken the Falconer, but stepping back after 2023 and allowing his son Jason to take over in 2024 will be Ken the Falconer.
Yeah, well, it was crazy. So I went to, it was right around the second half. We were already up. I think we were already up 5-1 at this point. So I went to go to the bathroom and then I came out and I saw Ken. And Ken was like, "Oh, I was looking for you." He's like, "You're going to buy me a beer." I'm like, "Oh, okay, we're in Founders Club. No problem, Ken. They don't cost nothing." So I'm like, "I'll buy you a beer. Sure, a beer of your choice. Top shelf for you, my friend." And I asked him point blank. I'm like, "Yo, is today your last flight? The boots on the ground." He's like, "Oh, my God, I think you're the only person that acknowledged that." I'm like, no. That was all scarf. And he said that to me, and now I'm seeing you, and I'm saying that to you. But, you know, we talked about it. Obviously, I bought him that beer. What was wild to me is I was going through my wardrobe earlier today, just trying to find something different to wear. And I came across this t-shirt right here. For those of you that get to watch it on the YouTube, you'll see it. For those of you that are listening to the pod, and I know way more of you listen than watch, I had a shirt that I bought from HQ in 2018. I'm going to turn around and show you what it says. Scarf, I want you to do me a solid and read what it says on the back of the shirt.
Yes, sir. This is none other than the official Ollie t-shirt, number one Ollie on the back. And look, there are very few shirts that are more OG than the Ollie number one t-shirt. It's got the old font before they switched over after the 25th year. It is definitely an OG shirt. And Philly, it's serendipity, my friend, that you just happen to wear it today of all days.
I couldn't believe it. I wanted it for that perspective. Like, I'm going through my stuff. I have so much LAFC stuff accumulated since 2017, really. I have hats that are older than some of the people that go to BMO at this point, which is wild. But I wanted the shirt because obviously it is indicative of the OG-ness. And quite honestly, I think Ollie for a little while was the most aggressive person on the pitch at LAFC because, I mean, you see what she was doing on her flights of the Falcon. I mean, she was tearing off Ken's arm as she was going to attack the Lure. So I figured, let me bring in an OG shirt from the good old days, rocking Ollie. And then it just happens to be the day that Ken decides to retire. I'm blown away by it. When I showed him like what I was wearing, it's like, oh my God, this is wild. And yeah, nothing but love to Ken. And obviously Jason, he's well equipped to tackle the responsibilities of the flight of the Falcon. It is a part of our history, a part of our ritual, a part of our tradition. Ollie's not a mascot. She's a symbol. And whatever Falcon moving forward is going to be utilized, same concept. But want to say congrats to Ken and family. Nothing but love to all the McNooks. We've been friends with them for years. Heck, we've even gone to their house to see Mel and Fig and all at Bond and all the other Falcons. And it's wild that it happened this night. And nothing but love to Ken and fam.
Yeah, Philly, you know that you make fun of me all the time that I overuse this phrase a little bit, but it certainly does apply to Ken and the McNook family. These are truly some of the nicest people that I know and some of the nicest people you will ever meet if you've ever spent time at BMO Stadium, Bank of California Stadium, because he's been there through all of it. Ken stops. He takes time. He takes pictures. He tells stories. He listens to stories. He's just an absolute symbol of this club's culture, and we couldn't be more proud or happier for Ken to be able to hopefully walk off into the sunset. I mean, look, if his last regular season game is going to be a 5-1 win, we sure sent him off on pretty good terms, that's for sure. And of course, it seems fitting that it's Will Ferrell. LAFC PR said it was his sixth time, but LAFC public address announcer Eric Smith said it was his seventh time. I have no idea how many times Will Ferrell has been the honorary Falconer, but I do know Ollie pooped all over him right before he did the, or should I say pooped all over the glove right before he did the Falcon flight. And it was the least stressful Falcon flight of the year. She took two or three passes and decided, Ken, if you're retiring today, I'm going to make it a nice, easy, short one for you, bud. And it certainly was. So props to Will Ferrell. And again, nothing but love to the McNooks. And Ken, congratulations and good luck in your retirement, my friend. Philly, let's get on to a little this day in LAFC history, along with some news and notes. You know, a lot of people are going to be listening to this on Thursday, October 5th, the day we are recording it. But I wanted to include something from the next day, October 6th, because of its significance. On October 6th, just one day later from when you all are listening to this podcast, 2018, LAFC officially clinches their first playoff berth in team history with a win at Colorado 3-0. LAFC becomes the fourth expansion side to make the playoffs in their inaugural campaign. And of course, Bob Bradley, the coach of two of them, the 98 Chicago Fire, who won MLS Cup. It was a brace from Adama Diomande and a goal from Walker Zimmerman backing Tyler Miller's clean sheet, his 10th of the year. Holy crap, those are some names from the Wayback Machine. And how about those goals putting Dio in double digits for the season? Carlos Vela, Adama Diomande, and Diego Rossi becoming the first trio to score 10 or more goals for their club in their inaugural season as a club. Thought we should probably talk about that as it was our first playoff berth. We don't want to talk about much of what happened after that playoff berth. But pretty cool that just a day or so away from today is when we clinched our first playoff berth. Philly, when I say names like Adama Diomande, Walker Zimmerman, Tyler Miller, Diego Rossi, I mean, those are the days of yore, yeah?
I mean, now it really seems like it was forever and a day ago. And I think Carlos Vela was the first person to ever sign on LAFC, and he's the last player from that inaugural season. The only other person that's been around just as long, our assistant coach, Hante Razov. And then obviously a lot of us, the supporters and lovers of the black and gold. But as far as like front office staff, obviously John and Larry and them have been around, but Carlos is still around. Like to think that Carlos might have a little left in him for next season as a TAM signing. And despite not having any goals scored today on his 150th appearance, it would have been so appropriate. He missed a couple of times, but he did get credit for two assists, albeit hockey assists. It's crazy to think how much time has lapsed. We're in our sixth year. There's a possibility that Denny could get the golden boot, and that would mean three LAFC players in 6 years getting a golden boot. I think there's only one or two other clubs that have done that. But yeah, we've got some history at this point. There's games that we've been to that I'm sure you and I have forgotten. Somebody wants to pull an obscure game out of 2018. Actually, we won an awful lot of home games in 2018 and 2019. So not very many games that we lost. But man, it's crazy how much history has gone on there. If Carlos Vela has played in 150 games for LAFC, we've certainly gotten pretty darn close to having witnessed close to that many games at BMO.
No, you're absolutely right, man. And again, it is part of the Wayback Machine when we talk about a lot of these guys. And the other thing that surprises me as we slide into our news and notes section, Philly, you mentioned it. Carlos Vela has been here since day one. 2017, you could buy a Carlos Vela jersey and have it customized. 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22. And here we are now in 2023. And yet Carlos Vela is still top five in jersey sales in Major League Soccer this year. No surprise who went number one. And actually, I'm surprised that there's only one player from St. Louis in the top five at number two. It's Lionel Messi at one and Joao Klaus of all players. I would have thought for sure they'd get those Roman Berkey kits going there in St. Louis, but Joao Klaus number two, Hani Mukhtar number three, Sebastian Driussi number four, and Carlos Vela number five. Rounding out the top 20, literally, is Denny Bawanga at 20th as well. So two players in the top 20 in jersey sales. A little surprising that Carlos Vela is still able to be top five after everybody and their mother already has several Carlos Vela kits. But hey, that's why he is the greatest player in club history. Philly, just seven stadiums.
That among a lot of other reasons, club leader in matches played, goals scored, assists, the list goes on, minutes, the goal, it goes on and on.
Yeah, it turns out he's all right. BMO Stadium is one of just seven MLS stadiums in EAFC 24. For all of you that aren't aware, FIFA is not happening this year because FIFA wanted too much damn money and EA Sports said, you know what? We'll make it better ourselves. And
suck it, Johnny.
Unbelievable. Only seven MLS stadiums. And yes, Dignity Health Sports Park is one of them, along with BC Place, Philly's favorite stadium, Luke Field, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Providence Park, Red Bull Arena, and BMO Stadium. Those are the seven MLS stadiums. No Allianz Field or Allianz Park. What's it? I always get it wrong. What's the one in Minnesota called?
It's Allianz. You're right.
Right, but is it Field or Park? Because the big one is
Bayern.
Yeah, big one's Bayern. What's Bayern's one? Is it Allianz Field? Allianz Park?
Allianz Arena.
Oh, there we go.
70,000. It's an arena.
Yeah, not even an option. But there you go. I love it. So just one of seven stadiums in EAFC 24. If you're up later, you can watch Jose Cifuentes play in a Europa League qualifier against Cyprus-based Aris Limassol. That's today, October 5th. We're going to check in on Sifu and see how he does in that match. Unfortunately for Angel City, that was a huge loss as they fell at home 1-0 to Orlando Pride behind a goal from Adriana in the 22nd minute to put a serious dent in ACFC's playoff hopes. With two matches left, ACFC sits 3 points back of the sixth and final playoff spot with three teams to jump in order to make the playoffs. Their next match is at the Houston Dash on Sunday, October 8th, and their final match is the following Sunday, October 15th, as they close out the year at BMO against title favorite Portland Thorns. Philly, that, my friend, is our news and notes along with this day in LAFC history. We're doing all right. Let's check in on the breakdown of the absolute beatdown of the Loons. Minnesota United FC coming to BMO and taking an L.
Man, it's anytime we compete with this team, it for the most part, it ends in a draw. I mean, there was one win a season or so ago, but like our last game with them, 1-1. The one prior to that, 1-1. The one prior to that, we ended up winning 2-0. But then another draw and another draw. Historically, we've only beaten Minnesota twice. They've beaten us twice, and we've drawn on five occasions. So heading into today, there were playoff implications on the line. We could have done it the courageous way by winning. That assured us a automatic bid into the postseason. We would have got it with a draw, which, well, we've done quite a bit of that. And had we not gotten either result and it would have been the Loons walking out, then we would have had to have waited and done it the cowardly way, which is keep an eye out on that FC Dallas Colorado Rapids game, which actually didn't even happen today. Some wild stuff. I'm not going to waste your time with that, but let's just say signs were blowing away and people were getting hit with O's. Crazy stuff. But with playoff implications on the line, not having scored very many goals over the last 5 out of 7 matches, and a team in the Loons that hasn't won a game since August the 30th, our chances for winning this were pretty darn good. But keep in mind that this is a team that has the likes of Teemu Pukki, the all-time leading scorer on the Finnish national team. And while the Finnish national team isn't exactly going to raise some eyebrows and turn some heads, the fact that you lead a country in scoring all time, pretty darn cool thing. And he started finding some success, found his chemistry with his team, and what, 4 goals in his last 5 matches. The guy at Norwich City was a killer, and he's starting to become a killer for the Loons. But today he was on the back of a milk carton and couldn't really find him.
Yeah, we were able to shut him down. Minnesota coming in with 9 wins, 11 losses, and 11 draws on the year. Almost a fairly even record. 39 goals scored, 41 goals against. So they give up just about as much as they get. But despite being pretty meh this season, they're one of just 6 clubs in Major League Soccer with 6 or more wins on the road. They are a solid road team for sure. Except they forgot that as they headed into BMO Stadium. We mentioned all the history. We mentioned all the pageantry. Final regular season home match of the year. And Adrian Heath, without Robin Lud, who has been injured for quite some time now, rolls out his starting 11, led by a keeper who, you got to think, Philly, Maxime Crépeau looking out across the way at Dane St. Clair. I wonder what goes through his mind. Are they friends because they're on the Canadian national team? Is he still bitter, jealous, upset, whatever it might be, for Dane St. Clair taking his spot in Qatar, as obviously he broke his leg, what, 4 days before he was supposed to leave for the World Cup? But either way, a Canadian national team keeper, not a starter, and if he plays keeper like he did today, I don't know. Today, actually, I take that back. We'll talk about Dane St. Clair a little bit later on. How do you lose 5-1 and have a decent day in goal? You deal with some numbers that Philly is going to talk about as we get later on in the podcast. A ton of saves today for Dane St. Clair, but yep, 5 goals allowed. Yeesh. On the back line, DJ Taylor, Michael Boxall, Ethan Bristow, and a player who we will get to know relatively well, Miguel Tapias. It's going to be awfully fun to talk about Miguel in a little bit. He's a 26-year-old Mexican in his first season with the club. In the middle, we have Kervin Arriaga, Will Trapp, Hassani Dotson. We got Dotson here, everybody. And unfortunately, a little bit too much Dotson at BMO Stadium today. And their fourth and final midfielder is Emmanuel Reynoso, the 27-year-old Argentinian who literally ran wild all over us for a little bit today. 27 goals, 27 assists in his 97 matches with Minnesota United. And up top, it's Bongo Kule Hlongwane, Bongi, as he is known in Minnesota, the 23-year-old South African who already has capped 15 times and scored 4 goals for his country. And then with Minnesota United FC, we're talking about 70 matches or so, 19 goals and 8 assists, but he has really come on this season as a player who you need to watch for on the offensive end. And you mentioned it, forward Teemu Pukki, Finland's all-time leading scorer with 38 goals. I believe, by the way, the next active closest Finnish player has 14. So Teemu, he'll be okay for quite some time. 4 goals in his last 5 matches. Both sides today, by the way, using all 5 substitutions. The 18, the 5 guys that you might hear from, although we're probably not going to go minute by minute, so you might not hear when they all come in. Nope. Zarek Valentin, Jan Gregus, Bakaye, the million-dollar man, Dibasi, Mender Garcia, and Sang Bin Jong. That one was for you, Philly. I turn it over to you, my friend. Who do we got?
Everybody's got a price. That's good. And I think of Dibasi in a whole completely different way, because the only person coming off the bench that made me think of anything was Gregus. And you can only imagine what I was thinking of when I say the name Gregus. Anyway, as far as LAFC starters are concerned,
I can't imagine. Can you explain it to me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll leave it up to interpretations. Family friendly, you know. We don't talk about adult things on this show.
We don't talk about Grey Goose on this.
We never talked about Grey Goose on this. When have we ever had Grey Goose? It's usually whiskey
I'm saying we can't just casually mention that Grey Goose is also a type of vodka.
Okay, well, we just did on multiple occasions, so we've screwed the pooch on that one. Okay, LAFC's lineup, solid lineup. The one player that would not feature is Kellen Acosta, because if you remember, took a knock in that first game, not that first game, in the first half of the last game. And he was ruled out with, newsflash for you, lower body extremities.
We need a new guy for that.
Fascinating. Now, I get not wanting to say what the deal is, but I don't know. Like, next time I'm hurt, I'm just going to say that. Yep, can't come into work today, boss. Lower body extremities keeping me on the sideline. Anyway, in the between the pipes, and I guess this is how it's going to be from here on out. Didn't think it would happen in the way that it did, but honestly, he's picked up right where he left off. Maxime Crépeau starting in net, like you said, along opposite side, his Canadian counterpart, Dane St. Clair. Our back line, Sergi Palencia, Jesus David Murillo, Giorgio Chiellini, and Chiqui Palacios. Midfield, Mati Bogus, Ilya Sanchez, and Timothy Tillman. Up top, Denis Bouanga, Carlos Vela, and Christian Oliveira. And as you mentioned, and highlighted, and I want to stress it again, Chiqui making his 100th appearance, which is a heck of a milestone. Still doesn't feel like we've had him for as long as we've had. And Carlos having been there since day one, his 150th. It's crazy to think that there's only a 50-game difference between Carlos and Chiqui. But then again, Carlos did miss a couple of games in 2020 during that COVID season. He certainly missed all of the games in the COVID Cup. As far as the bench is concerned, the players that would feature, Ryan Hollingshead, Aaron Long, the El Pistolero was back, Mario Gonzalez. Talk more about him later. Fufu, Philippe Krastev entering in the game, and that's LAFC for you. Let's get into the game.
Yeah, Philly, you know, it was interesting. I was just looking at this because, you know, transfer market is where a lot of people do get their stats from and their numbers, right?
We know the GM of Toronto FC got his stats from there.
Yeah, he did. So when we talk about 150 and 100 for both Carlos Vela and Chiqui Palacios, we're talking about MLS matches. Yeah. Because as you go through, I just want to make sure that we're covering our butts here. 181 matches in black and gold for Carlos Vela in all competitions, 125 for Chiqui Palacios. And that, by the way, does not include, I believe, international friendlies. I guess international friendlies don't count.
But we haven't had many of those.
Well, we've played a couple, right? We played Peñarol, we played Vissel Kobe, and we played Borussia Dortmund. We've played 3. So there you go.
That's it?
Isn't it?
Yeah, that would be right. I don't recall anything else. We should certainly do more of those. Those were a lot of fun. And obviously now that we have this red and gold partnership, one could only keep their fingers crossed that we might get to see Mighty Bayern come into LA.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. What was not amazing was that just 4 minutes in, Philly was going up right behind me. Philly sits like three rows behind me. He was going off after the fourth minute.
I heard. So much for being subtle.
Bob Bradley might have heard wherever he's. Is he at Staubach? Is he back at Staubach?
Yeah, he's back at Staubach.
Yeah, I think Bob Bradley might have heard you all the way over there. As soon as we gave up the ball on this, did you hear me? I was yelling in the front. Everybody in front of me heard me. As soon as we give up the ball on this transition, I just start yelling, "This is bad. This is bad. Stop. This is bad." And Philly, it was bad. Unfortunately, Hassani Dotson. Stupid line from Jurassic Park every time I did. Dotson, we've got Dotson here. Nobody cares. Well, you know what? We had to care at BMO Stadium because just 4 minutes in after the ball caroms off of Maxime Crepeau, Emmanuel Reynoso just does everything on the run. A little back and forth with Timu and Bongi. And after crashing the net, Hassani Dotson cleans up the mess. Nothing that Maxime Crepeau really could have done. There wasn't a lot of help in the box. It was a very quick counter. Philly, just 4 minutes into the match, a team that can't score and hasn't scored in up until that point, what was 406 minutes? Now we're down 1-0? Come on.
Yeah, it was annoying. I mean, 180 seconds in, we were actually pretty aggressive and playing really hard right out of the gates. But for them to score the way they did, look, Hassani Dotson's not a goal-scoring machine. It was only his second goal of the season, but frustrating because obviously we have a record when we go up first and we play a lot better as a team collectively when we score first. Our record speaks for itself. We've stressed on it countless occasions. But in the back of my mind, I know for a fact because, well, history has a tendency to repeat itself that Minnesota scores and they usually score relatively early. And for the most part, they've scored. Well, I think this might be their fourth or fifth straight game where they've scored first and blew it. And so despite the fact that Hassani Dotson scored, it only took about 2 minutes for us to strike back. There was a lot going on before the goal happened. Tillman connects with Oliveira outside of the box. His cross gets headed up in the air high by the loons. Vela gets involved, and then the ball gets headed by Ilie back to Carlos, who tries to flip it in the box off the chest of Matsi Bogush right in front of Denny Bouanga, and Denny smashes it home. Carlos is going to get the hockey assist. Mati is going to get credit for the actual assist. And finally, after so many minutes, we get a goal. Denny bags what, number 16 and number 28? And the quick scare that we had gets nullified. We're pretty much back to square one. And this was, thank you, LAFCPR, the second longest scoreless streak in club history. And I'm quote unquote bested only by a run of 408 minutes between June 4th and June 17th earlier this year when the club was shut out in four consecutive matches and then failed to score until the 48th minute of an eventual 2-1 win at Sporting Kansas City. The fact that we've gone through two stretches like this is kind of wild, but I'm glad it woke up the boys because from then on out, it was all smooth sailing for LAFC.
You know, here's what I don't understand. Let's back up a minute here. I think LAFC put it out there, right? It was 372 minutes, right? That's not true. It's just patently false. I don't know how what stats part? Are. I don't know how stats are maintained when they're not counting stoppage time. They're not counting stoppage time.
I
don't know. I went and did the math, including stoppage time. It was 402 minutes coming into the match, 407 minutes after the fifth minute of this match. So we break it in the sixth minute. And I'm curious now, Philly, I'm going to go back and see how long that stretch was earlier on in the season. I didn't remember that stretch earlier on in the season. Did you? Like,
no, I can't say I did.
I really didn't.
And again, I don't remember what I did yesterday.
Yeah, but I feel awful. I didn't remember that stretch. But I'm going to go back. This is the math teacher here talking. I'm going to make sure we add up all the stoppage time minutes because I don't know why they don't count stoppage time minutes. If you score a goal in stoppage time, it counts towards your statistics. just a little confusing. I don't know.
I mean, Scarf, if you want to do that, by all means, go ahead and like do the math, crunch the numbers. That's fine. I'm just going to carry on living my life.
Yeah, I also need to figure out while I'm doing that math how Kike Oliveira put that ball that far off.
I'll tell you how.
I just have no idea what's happening there. Philly, I try, man. I try. I'm trying with Kike. I really like what he does 90% of the time. But it seems like the only time I don't like what he does, it's the 10% that matter most with Kike Oliveira. So I don't know what's going on with Kike. I don't know what's going on with Mario Gonzalez. But anybody sees a true number nine out there, let them know that we need a player next season because the rosters are frozen for this year. But hijo de madre. In the 13th minute, I do want to point out one good thing. I know we're not going minute by minute, but I wanted to point out one good thing that Kike Oliveira does. And this is why I think he's on the pitch. Although, again, we will talk about what Steve said about Kike Oliveira after the match because he got scorched by his own coach. Bongi got on a 1v1 situation by Cheeky Palacios. It was on a break, and it was just Cheeky and Bongi. But I think it was Timu Pukki that was making the run right alongside of him, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Kike Oliveira comes up behind him and thwarts the run. I thought that was really good by Kike, and you can see the intangibles that he does bring. But Philly, that's not going to be enough, unfortunately, for Kike to be able to stay on the pitch, at least on the front line as a number nine.
No, I mean, that attempt in the 10th minute, I mean, not to harken back to 2018, but a former member of the Loons that made his way on LAFC, Christian Ramirez. It was very reminiscent of the kind of shots that Christian Ramirez would miss. He was set up lovely. Now, he had the most shots out of anybody on LAFC, which is wild because it's usually Denny. His XG was also higher than anybody on LAFC, even double that of Denny. He's getting the ball. They're feeding him, but he either shoots it right at Dane St. Clair, and a good number of Dane St. Clair's saves came by way of Kike Oliveira kicking it right to him, or he's way off of the mark. I get it. He's young, yada, 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 but obviously, you know, we're in a results business and things got to change. 31st minute. Let's jump into it. I don't want to go minute to minute. Little bit of controversy. Denny taken down in the box. Bristow was pulling onto his jersey, tugging onto it, if you will. No call. No call whatsoever, and we move on from there. Wild that there was no call. But, hey, whatever. We were at the game. I didn't see it on the replay. 36. Well, yes?
And Denis Bouanga gets taken down right after that again, even in the same minute, I think. It was the 31st minute where he got taken down for a free kick. And he's begging. He's like, guys, take a look at this. And the referees both say, yeah, no, we took a look at it. I have no idea. I just wrote down my favorite phrase to say when some of this kind of stuff happens. Horse pucky, that's for sure. Philly, let me ask you something. Did you feel any of those feels? Did you see any of those flashbacks? Did you hear the whispers of those ghosts of MLS Cup last year? As you watched Cheeky Palacios take the ball all the way down to the goal line yet again and then cross it back in. This time, it wasn't a Gareth Bale ready to dunk on Elliott. No, no, no. It was that man again, Denis Bouanga. This time, it was a low cross for Denis Bouanga. But Philly, I got all those flashbacks, all those feels to seeing Cheeky Palacios take that ball all the way down to the touchline and then bam, at the last second, play it right back over to a wide open player in the box.
But we have to obviously talk about what happened beforehand, because what happened beforehand was very crucial as to why this goal happened. Denny literally took a shot in the left butt. Point blank. Can't get any more blunt than that. Heck, he even said it in French in the press conference. Took a shot to the butt, laying on the sideline, motionless, in pain, then writhing a little bit, and obviously play resumed. And so he gets himself back into the game. Now, no defenders are marking him at this point. And like you said, Cheeky making that run reminiscent of the MLS Cup. And so Denis found himself a wide open space in between Minnesota's Miguel Tapias and Ethan Bristow, who were completely unaware that he was there because he limped slash pimped his way back into the box. And then boom, Cheeky fed the Gabonese Golasso goal getter. And here we are, another goal for Denny. It's fascinating. But had he not gone down with, well, shot to the butt, I don't know if this play necessarily develops because the defenders were completely unaware of Denny Bouanga. And I imagine that made somebody as animated and temperamental as Adrian Heath see red after we go up 2-1.
Yeah, I know you had mentioned the last one, but I want to make sure we get it right. This one is his 16th goal of the season, number 29 on the year for Denny Bouanga. And look, he played it coy, right? He played it close to the vest. But he did say, no, I got fouled in the butt. And it's the word he used in the press conference. We're not saying butt because we just want to say butt because we're nine-year-old kids again. No, Denny Bouanga in the press conference said shut butt. Up. So there you go. In the 39th minute, by the way, Emmanuel Reynoso takes on a yellow for taking down Denny Bouanga. Kike Oliveira, by the way, again, there were times where he attacked really well. You mentioned it, lots of shots. Lots of saves for Dane St. Clair, 39th minute, 40th minute. I mean, he was trying. He was trying. I don't know. He's trying. But in the 45th minute, do or do not, there is no try. And that, an over-the-top ball from Carlos Vela to Cheeky Palacios, and we earn a corner. And Mateus Bogusz takes the corner kick. Off the corner, there was a deflection. The ball settled down to Denny Bouanga. He took his man down to the goal line and absolutely laid the hammer down on a right-footed goal. Denny Bouanga right over the shoulder of Dane St. Clair. A Bouanga blast for a hat trick. Philly, it is hard to believe that a man came into this season with zero hat tricks in his career. Zero hat tricks in his career. And he's got, in the words of LeBron James, not one, not two, not three, but now four hat tricks. Philly, it reminds me of, you know a crazy stat about Don Mattingly? Don Mattingly hit eight grand slams in his entire career. Eight grand slams in his entire career. They all came in 1 year. He did not hit a grand slam other than in just 1 year. Could this be Denny Bouanga? Grand slam. He has a grand slam worth of hat tricks now. He's got four of them. It is unreal to me, Philly, how Denny Bouanga had zero hat tricks coming into the season, and now he's working on his fourth.
I mean, what's crazy is he got a hat trick in the first half. That's what's also crazy. I mean, getting a hat trick in general is an amazing feat. Normally, that comes over the course of 90 minutes. He did it within 45. Wild. Denny's a goal-scoring machine. Again, when Denny scores, good, more often than not, we win games. When he's silent, well, that's when we're in trouble. And I'm going to give myself a little pat on the back because I did say on One More Sleep that he would get multiples because anytime he goes on somewhat of a drought, he comes back and just gets them in obviously that kind of a form in hat tricks. Four hat tricks in a season, two over the course of a regular season. Obviously, the other ones were in international competitions or actually cup competitions outside of MLS. It's crazy. Now he is one goal above Cincinnati's Luciano Acosta for the Golden Boot. That's what I'm hoping for. At this point, I want to see us collect two more wins, six more points, finish up in the top four. And yes, I am prepared for my bank account and your bank account and all our bank accounts to get walloped for playoffs. But I also want to see Denny Bouanga win a Golden Boot. To me, that would be the high and the success of the season we want. Obviously, Supporters Shield's not going to happen. We're not catching St. Louis for first place in the West, but if we could finish top two, top three, and Denny gets the Golden Boot, I'm going to be okay with that starting into the playoffs.
Philly, I'm calling it. He's getting the 20. Oh, he's getting the 20 this season. He has 17 after this one. Speaking of some pretty gaudy numbers, why don't you take us through the halftime numbers as we look to break down the first half of, look, we might have started slow, but we were all downhill from that first goal, Philly. How are we doing the first half?
Dude, I mean, the stats in the first half, most people would have been happy with them for the course of an entire game. We had 15 shots with seven of them on target, three of them for goals. That's pretty darn good. Minnesota, on the other hand, 2-for-2 with one. I mean, they're obvious. They're For shots on target and percentage-wise conversion rate, quite good. But who gives a hoot? We're up 3-1. Possession relatively even. Passing accuracy, you know, relatively similar in the 80s. And we had a lot more chances created. We had more set pieces, but we had very much a dominating first half. And going into the locker room, it's got to give your team a lot more confidence and a breath of fresh air, if you will. Because obviously we got smacked in the face relatively quickly, but the team held up. They were composed, came back, struck within 120 seconds, then went off to the races to absolutely dominate, humiliate, and embarrass the loons. Hence why I sang that song earlier in the pod. This is what it sounds like when the loons cry.
Yeah, and we sent them back with more tears as we start the second half. Look, full disclosure, folks, I had to pee. So I went to the bathroom real quick at the start of the half. Anybody knows in any of our spaces out there, there is a ton of guys in line for the bathroom at all times. So I waited until just as the half started, got in line real quick. And at first, I missed the goal. And then in second, everybody was telling me, hey, your boy, the blind squirrel found a nut, Kike Oliveira. He scored. Take a look. And then I took a look. And it was not Kike Oliveira who scored. Unfortunately, it was an own goal. First, by the way, it was really Philly on two deflected balls, too. By the way, if you watch Cheeky Palacios' pass into the box first, that one kind of gets deflected. The spin gets all weird on that ball. And then it kind of settles. And it's a back heel attempt by Kike Oliveira. But it's Tapias who gets in the way and redirects it back on frame. And the route is absolutely on now. We are up 4-1 very early on in the second half. And Philly, we would look to add to this advantage.
The public address announcer was unsure of what to say because there was a little confusion. I thought at first glance it was an own goal, but it looked like it could have bounced in a couple of ways. Might have even could have bounced just based off the cross, could have bounced off of Oliveira. But obviously, as you said, it was an own goal. And thank you, Miguel Tapias. We certainly appreciate your auditioning efforts for LAFC and Steve Cherundolo. We support you. Thank you very much. Carlos Vela missed a sitter in the 50th minute, unfortunately. And that was an uncharacteristic miss for the captain. I wanted so badly for him to get a goal in that game. He did get credit for 12 assists. Now he's riding high on what I think 12 on the season, nearly looking at his 10th goal of the season, which would have been awesome. Carlos Vela, well, he hasn't found the back of the net in quite some time. So, you know, that goes uncharacteristically over the crossbar. And then at one point you could see that, well, Adrian Heath and Minnesota are starting to concede the fact that this game's over because they take out Timu Pukki. So no Pukki, we have no problems. That leads us into the 67th minute, a goal off of a very, very bad giveaway by Kurt. Yeah.
I just want to back up 63rd minute real quick. LAFC made a wholesale change in the 63rd minute, and I absolutely loved what happened. You got Ryan Hollingshead, Aaron Long, and Fufu Krastev. Fufu Krastev would come into play in this game in just a little bit. But Ryan Hollingshead, Aaron Long, and Fufu Krastev coming on. Sure. Ryan Hollingshead coming in for Cheeky Palacios makes sense. And sure, Fufu Krastev coming on for Timothy Tillman makes sense. It was apparently supposed to be, maybe from the looks of it, Jesus David Murillo, who might have been coming out at one point, but it looked like Giorgio stepped in front of that one and said, no, it's going to be me. I'm coming off. And it's Aaron Long coming on for Giorgio Chiellini. It was kind of a cool scene. I think he was either messing with Murillo or maybe he told Mario that he was coming off or whatever it might be. I don't know. But look, no more Cheeky, no more Giorgio, no more Timothy Tillman. That's always a bummer because LAFC is so good. And so you would think, wow, if you take out those three guys, it's really going to be hard for us to score in the next 4 minutes. Yay! More goals. Philly, how'd we put a 5 spot on him?
Well, we got to thank Kervin Arriaga for a really bad giveaway, and Fufu Krastev off to the races. You're looking to his left, he's got Denny getting some space. You're looking to the right, he's got Oliveira. Krastev was like, nah, I ain't having any of this. I'm doing it myself. Courageously takes the shot by himself, smashes it by Dane St. Clair, and then afterwards, The Gritty is alive and well in L.A. Shout out Max Brados for that goal call in that 67th minute. Foo, foo, fools you, baby. And that's what, his second goal of the season? He had quite an impact. He nearly scored a second goal in the game, and I'm happy for the young man's performance. We've been somewhat underwhelmed with a lot of the new players we've brought in would be an understatement. But anytime we've seen Krastev come in, he's had an impact. He's done some things, and it's awesome and exciting to see this kid score goals because, well, he seems to be pretty good at it. And the Gritty, like Max said, is alive and well.
Yeah, I still don't know if the players on the pitch love him doing the Gritty as much as he loves doing the Gritty.
Boston didn't.
I know. And I do want to remind everybody, the time he scored his first ever goal in black and gold, it was 6 minutes from when he was substituted. This one, just 4 minutes from when he was substituted. Maybe we found something with Filip Krastev. He's able to score in these super sub roles. Amazing. Stipe Buic coming on for Carlos Vela in the 68th minute. And then I've played a lot of Super Mario Brothers. Is there one that he can eat, something that he can eat, whether it's a flower, a mushroom, a star, that'll turn him not invincible, but invisible? Because I think that's the one that he's been eating. Whatever that one is, LAFC's Mario Gonzalez coming on for Denis Bawanga in the 75th minute. And look, there were lots of good chances. There was lots of fun action. Even in a 5-1 game, 75 minutes in, LAFC was still trying to push, do everything that they could. But Philly, that would wrap it up. Nothing else in terms of a score sheet in the 5-1 victory. And that's right, count it again with us, 5-1 victory. But Philly, what surprised me most, man, were some of these stats.
Hold on. I got something for Super Mario.
Oh, I'm ready. Hold
on. Hopefully it doesn't have to go to a commercial.
Oh, boy.
Hold on.
I was down to talk to my doctor about
Rebecca. All right, hang on. Philly, bear with me.
She's down to talk to her doctor about whatever that was.
Yeah. Hang on. They pay as little as $10 per person. Hey, Rebellus, give me a... Hold on.
Oh, it's Rebellus.
That's what I have to say about Mario's performance today.
Yeah, look, 15 minutes. Somebody DM'd us, Philly. I don't know if you saw it. That was, by the way, that was very smooth. Well done, Philly.
Minus the stupid pharmaceutical commercial. That's you, Big Pharma.
2:18 in the morning. We did get DM'd. You'll have to go check the DMs if you want to credit this person correctly, because I don't have my phone right in front of me right now. But they definitely said it seemed like in the 75th minute when Mario Gonzalez came in, LAFC was playing keep away from Mario at one point, which is just kind of funny to think about. But Philly, what wasn't funny to think about would be the nightmare that Dane St. Clair is going to be seeing tonight. He actually did a wonderful job keeping us to just 5 goals. Correct me if I'm wrong, Philly, 29 shots taken in the match. How many shots on target?
14 shots on target, Scarf. 14 shots. He made 9 saves in this game, and that's not an easy feat. But again, a lot of them were direct hits from Oliveira to him. At the very least, they were 3 to 4. There was a sequence in which Carlos Vela had a gorgeous pass to Oliveira, and he kicked it right to Dane St. Clair, and then had another attempt right to Dane St. Clair. So a lot of his saves came by way of Kike Oliveira. But yeah, 29 shots with 14 on target. Again, this harkens back to what I said earlier on in the pod. This is why we get so bloody angry when our team loses, because we know they can do things like this. Yeah, you said it. Minnesota's not a great team. But how many games have we gone in and still had 20 shots on target with, no, 20 shots with 10 on target and no goals? Therein lies the difference. We finally executed this time around, and it's Denny. Unless Denny scores, we don't do much. But I'll take the hat trick from Denny. I'll take the own goal from Miguel Tapias, and I'll take a second goal from Fufu Krastev. An impressive performance by LAFC, and booyah, we're in the playoffs, baby. 4th time in our franchise.
Absolutely right.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Fifth time. Fifth time.
Yes. Jeez, I lost track of years. Yes. Sorry.
Fifth time in 6 years, and with just two matches left in the regular season, we are now third in the table, 48 points from 32 matches. Seattle 1 point ahead of us with 49. We're not really worried about St. Louis because we can't catch him, but they're up there, trust us, in first place. But RSL and Vancouver lurking just 2 points behind us in the standings, and Houston lurking just 3 points behind us in the standings. So we got to be careful not to drop any of these last two games. Our next match is at FC Broccoli, Austin FC, Saturday, October 7th, 5:30 in the morning. Austin, currently
5:30 in the morning.
In the table. What's that?
It's 5:30 in the morning.
Did I say in the morning?
Yeah, I ain't watching any Austin LAFC at 5:30 in the morning.
Oi, 5:30 in the evening. It's 2:21 in the morning. 5:30 in the evening. Austin currently 10th in the table, 38 points, 10 points back of us. They do have 10 wins on the season, but they also have 14 losses to go with their 8 draws. But they are solid at home. Austin FC 7-5-4 at home. And they are only 3 points back of a playoff spot. They're jockeying right now. And Philly, we mentioned it. We're not great on the road. 3 wins, 5 losses, but 6 draws. So you know what? 9 out of 14 results, at least coming away with points on the road for LAFC this year. Philly,
way to look at it.
Just 2 more matches left, bud. We've got at Austin, at Vancouver. That means this is the final time that we could go to BMO Stadium for the regular season match. We are expecting a couple of matches at home. We'll see how that goes. But Philly, it's safe to say that this kind of cures most of those ills that had been plaguing us leading up to this match.
Yeah, and at this point, what, 6 teams in the West have right now clinched their playoff spots. St. Louis wins the West overall. Seattle, us, RSL, Vancouver, Houston, like you said, clinched playoffs. Still up for grabs, Portland, San Jose, and Dallas. A lot of things can happen between now and then. I did have a smile on my face witnessing, and probably not necessarily good for us because they leapfrogged us in the process, but I like seeing Galaxy lose. I would enjoy seeing Galaxy lose and just look up at Seattle just for a little while, just to know that Carson is their playoff hopes are starting to dwindle. It'd be fun to play them in the playoffs again, but that game kind of makes me nervous. But yeah, I take great comfort in the fact that they lost, we won, we're clinching in the playoffs, and they're off to go golf this season. Not guaranteed just yet, but it's looking that way.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to tempt the soccer gods at all, but I will say this. They are now 6 points out of a playoff spot with just 3 matches left to play. And of their 3 matches, they're definitely going to see 2 of the clubs that will also be jockeying for playoff position or even a spot in the playoffs in FC Dallas. So it's going to be a really rough go of it for Carson. It is not going to be a rough go of it for us in terms of whether or not we go to the playoffs. This was absolutely massive. And now LAFC fan base, LAFC supporters, the LAFC faithful, the black and gold, the millions.
And millions.
Take a deep breath. We know these next 2 games are all about seeding, all about staying at home if we can, all about playing in an environment that best suits us. But you know what? We made it. We can all just take a deep breath and pull out your favorite Aaron Rodgers quote and just relax. Relax. Everything will be okay. Folks, we got a golden boot coming this season. Later on after that, we have a Western Conference title coming this season. And then later on after that, we've got an MLS Cup defending win in 2023. I can't wait for all of this to happen, Philly. But more importantly, I can't wait for us to exhale a little bit now that we're finally in the playoffs.
Yeah. And we're almost under an hour. Like, what do you think? I got nothing to say. I could sing the Prince song again. I'm good. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm also tired. It's 2:30 in the morning.
And you know how we like to end each and every one of our episodes.
You do this. Bye-bye.